The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 1st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, the House of Representatives may consider a whole series of renewable energy policies yet this summer. There's a shortage of large animal vets in the country, and public health professionals are concerned, and the U.S. position in the WTO has been slammed. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Closer to the bottom of the hour, statisticians from across the Midwest will join us to update planting conditions in the five top corn-growing states. And along the way, we'll take up the soybean and a new cookbook designed to help cafeterias take advantage of the miracle crop's healthy side. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $4.88.5, up 3 cents this afternoon. July futures at $5.01, they were 5.5 cents higher. May corn futures gained 9.5 cents at $3.67.5. July futures up 10 cents at $3.77.5. And September futures $3.77.25. Up 11 and 3 quarters, December futures in the corn pit, 14 cents higher at $3.78.5 a bushel. May soybean futures up 12 and 3 quarters at $7.41.25, July at $7.56.25, up 13 and a quarter, and the August soybeans 12 cents higher at $7.61.5. November futures $7.83.5, they're up 12 and 3 quarters for the afternoon. May bean meal futures at $198.10, up $5.30. May bean oil up 4 at $33.39. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, May feeder cattle gained 20 cents this afternoon. They finished at $109.75. June futures in the live cattle pit down 25 cents at $93.87.5. And the August contract up 12.5 cents for the live cattle at $92.72.5 a hundredweight. May lean hogs 45 cents higher at $76.05. From the outside markets, crude oil June contract $64.44. The last trade there down $1.27. And the U.S. dollar at 81.62, that's up 0.16. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 53 points higher at 13,116 for the afternoon. On a Tuesday, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodity Markets out of Newmarket, Indiana, always joins us to take a look at the agricultural commodities, and he's here this afternoon by phone. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we came out to the shoot with a report yesterday out of the USDA, NAS, that said we had, 23% of the corn crop in the ground. That was a little less than what most had expected, and things decided to rally today.
You know, we started out the day really under a little bit of a cloud. FEMA had come in and just started selling the dickens out of wheat and corn both this morning, and it looked like the report wasn't going to garner near what we did towards the end of the day. But when fund selling dried up, we in a quiet market, we drifted higher all day and made new highs in the close in the D's corn, Todd. So very varying weather forecasts. We were confused ourselves trying to figure out which one that the trade was watching, because of course the American model being a little bit drier than the European model here at noon.
And then Ed Kieser, of course, as we'll hear just a bit later, calling for widespread showers and a few scattered showers in Illinois and Indiana tomorrow in the south. Cloudy, widespread showers, thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon. That'll put things behind and keep it behind as we go into the first full week of planting in May.
Yeah, Todd, and I think that's sort of the thing. I think there's parts in, northern Illinois, parts of Iowa are rolling, parts of Iowa aren't rolling. Minnesota seems to be making some pretty good progress. In our area right here, while we're doing fine right now, But we've got a 50% chance of, you know, one of those thunderstorms this afternoon late.
And then as you take a look at the way things rallied in Chicago today, I can understand the corn rally and the wheat possibly being pulled up by that. But what was the reason for the soybeans to rally?
Well, part of the things going on, we saw some oil meal unwinding that supported the meal over there. And the oil continues to linger near contract highs there, too, supported by the palm oil and, of course, the crude oil like that along the way. We did break above the 2-week high and the 100-day moving average. So that was a couple of things technically to come in there. They also don't want to get the beans too far behind here as far as the corn bean ratio was to catch up there too. But I think mainly overall it was somewhat surprising to see the beans rally if you were rallying on delayed corn plantings. I think, though, you know, we are behind on beans, and they're probably saying if we stay behind on corn, the beans will probably go in, you know, maybe a week later than usual too. But all in all, maybe there was some index funds that come in. It's the first of the month, and we generally see their buying come in about the first of the month. But there weren't. When you talk to the floor, it was pretty quiet. So I don't think the volume was quite as heavy as we'd like to see for this bean rally.
Right. And then if you turn your attention very quickly to the mercantile exchange, please.
The cattle, there was no significant cash trade, and they sort of ended lackluster like that. It looks like it won't be anything until later. Like Peoria cash hogs, and that seemed higher today, but the Iowa index came in a little easier. We popped up a little bit on the close, but all in all, pretty quiet over at the Merck today.
We appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Taking a quick look at Ed Kieser's forecast for the two-state region, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for all of northern Indiana, that until 8 o'clock Eastern time tonight. And then tonight in the north, Ed says partly cloudy and cooler in central and southern sections, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows this evening from 47 in the north to 62 in the south. Tomorrow in the north, mostly sunny in central sections, cloudy, a few scattered showers in the south, cloudy, widespread showers and thunderstorms. Dave's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on lawmakers to come up with energy reform measures by June 1st, in time for the full House to debate the matter this summer. Among the measures likely to be considered, another hike in the renewable fuel standard with a potential separate mandate for biodiesel and or cellulosic-based ethanol. Also likely to be considered, a multiple-year extension for expiring renewable energy tax incentives. Public health experts are concerned that a shortage of farm animal veterinarians could lead to disease outbreaks, potentially endangering human health and risking the nation's food supply. The American Veterinary Medical Association says the current vet shortage is roughly 240 out of a total population of around 6,200. Experts say the shortage could lead to outbreaks of salmonella, foot and mouth disease, or other disease types. The shortage is blamed on graduates who opt for small animal medicine instead of large animals. The World Trade Organization's top negotiator, Crawford Falconer, yesterday slammed the U.S. position on farm subsidies. In a 26-page challenge paper, Falconer says it's frankly inconceivable that the U.S. insist that a new global trade treaty allow it to increase the amount of subsidies it pays to U.S. farmers. Tyson Foods reported second-quarter net earnings of $68 million, its best results in six quarters. The company benefited from a series of wholesale price increases on poultry in recent weeks and hedges on feed corn. and USDA and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration have learned that byproducts from pet food manufactured with contaminated wheat gluten imported from China have been used in chicken feed on some farms in Indiana. Approximately 30 boiler poultry farms and 8 breeder poultry farms in Indiana received contaminated feed in early February and fed it to poultry within days of receiving it. All of the broilers believed to have been fed contaminated product have entered the food supply. The breeders that were fed the contaminated product are under voluntary hold by the flock owners. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations and the primary author of a really great weekend newsletter on marketing corn, soybeans, and wheat and other commodities. Dave does a great job of putting that letter together. It's absolutely free. You can subscribe to the newsletter at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, make sure that you listen to some of those MP3 files that are posted. You can catch up on a lot of things. If you happen to miss it during the day, you can hear the closing market report and commodity week, the pre-opening and the opening market reports. You can even hear the crop progress reports on the weekly timetable. It's all right there at willag.org. Well, up next, you know, there's a new cookbook out, and it's called Soy on the Menu, Recipes for Food Service. It has a whole bunch to do with the high impact of healthy eating and how soy-enabled foods can be brought into cafeterias around the nation. The latest cookbook from the kitchens at the University of Illinois is the sixth in a series. They teach Americans how to adapt their favorite foods to a healthier standard by incorporating the miracle crop, the soybean. Soy has been proven to reduce the risk of heart disease and possibly some cancers. The co-director for the Illinois Center for Soy Foods at the U of I says she and her kitchen crew wrote the new cookbook for cafeterias because health-conscious consumers are eager to find foods away from home that will not only be delicious, but will meet their dietary needs. Barbara Klein says the recipes are more than just a doubling of the old standbys from the 5 earlier books in the series.
We did a study with the Illinois schools that enabled us to see what happens in a food service kitchen, and we realized that the average recipe wouldn't work for them, and also that teaching them how to use soy was really an important thing. Since soy is a very useful food in not only vegetarian diets, but in diets that are supposed to be lower in fat and cholesterol and saturated fat, this was something that was being demanded by clients, for example, in a university community.
The recipes in Soy on the Menu are illustrated in a full-color publication and are available on CD. There are a wide range of gourmet items, from breakfast dishes and appetizers to main dishes and desserts. All are taste-tested, in fact, by the community at the University of Illinois. Soy on the Menu, Recipes for Food Service, is available on CD for free. It does cost $3 for the shipping and handling. You can find out more on the Soy Foods Illinois website. The address is www.soyfoodsillinois.uiuc.edu, or more likely, just Google Soy Foods Illinois. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to WILL AM 580. This is the closing market report. Well, as you know, the market rallied off the open this morning. That because the corn planting nationwide is well behind the 5-year average. USDA NASS pegged it at 23% sown in the April 30 crop progress report. Last year, that number was 48%, and the five-year rolling average is 42% nationwide. Iowa's the spot that's really holding the number back, given the fact 16 out of the 18 reporting states are lagging. Iowa, as you'll hear, is down. It's 11 days behind schedule. The only two states that are on pace are Tennessee at 81% planted this year, as that happens, the same for the five-year average, and North Carolina, which posted the only out-of-the-gate faster-than-usual stat, 88% done there, compared to the usual 80%. Now, here are the statisticians from the five top corn-growing states in the nation.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 29th. Above normal temperatures and dry conditions the first half of last week allowed corn planters to roll at unprecedented speeds. However, that good fortune came to a screeching halt midweek when rains returned to the state. Rainfall accumulations ranged from a high of 2.5 inches in the Northwest Crop Reporting District to 0.5 inch in the Southeast Crop Reporting District. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated at 2% short, 72% adequate, and 26% surplus. The wettest area of the state was in the Eastern Crop Reporting District, with 51% being reported as surplus. In the 3.3 days suitable for fieldwork last week, corn planting advanced to 36%, compared to last year's 66% and the five-year average of 59%. Leading the state in planting progress was the West Southwest Crop Reporting District at 59%. The Northwest Crop Reporting District trailed all other districts in planting progress with only 16% in the ground. 3% of the corn plants have emerged, compared to 20% 1 year ago and 19% for the five-year average. Soybean planting at 1% complete was just getting underway. 4% was planted by this state last year and for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop was 9% headed, and that compares to 25% 1 year ago and 9% for the five-year average. Condition of the crop was rated as 21% very poor, 16% poor, 38% fair, 22% good, and only 3% excellent. We are now getting reports of some wheat fields being destroyed due to the late freeze. In other crops around the state, sorghum planting was just getting started at 2% complete, oat seedings reached 77%, and the first cutting of alfalfa was reported at 2%. Pastures were rated in fair to mostly good condition, while alfalfa was rated in mostly fair to good. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop weather report for the week ending April 29th. Farmers made good progress planting corn early in the week until rain halted most field activities. Planting of corn is 9 days behind average pace and 5 days behind last year. Planting of soybeans 7 days behind the average pace and 3 days behind last year. 13% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, compared with 30% last year and 34% for the five-year average. By area, 11% has been planted in the north, 14% in the central region, and 17% in the south. 2% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 4% last year and 8% for the five-year average. 60% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed, compared to 73% last year and 76% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 34% good to excellent, compared to 80% last year at this time. Pasture condition is rated 55% good to excellent. Last week, there were 2.9 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 54% adequate and 46% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 67% adequate and 33% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.52 inches to 3.63 inches. Temperatures averaged 2 to 9 degrees above normal, with a high of 85 and a low of 37. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 29, 2007. Though rains at the beginning of the week left fields saturated, field work progressed slightly. Many areas experienced flooding and some erosion was reported. Ground temperatures have risen. Alfalfa fields and pastures are beginning to rebound after the freeze experienced at the first of the month. Wet weather has made conditions poor for livestock. There were 1.3 days suitable for field work compared to 4.4 days last year at this time. Top soil moisture was rated 52% adequate and 48% surplus across the state of Iowa. Subsoil moisture was rated 62% adequate and 37% surplus. Iowa farmers had planted 73% of the oats, 1 week behind last year's 95%, and 12 days behind the five-year average of 96%. 23% of the oats had emerged compared to 52% last year. Iowa farmers had planted 14% of the corn, which is 11 days behind last year's 58%. Pasture and range condition rated 2% very poor, 10% poor, 28% fair, 47% good, and 13% excellent. Muddy field lots have stressed livestock, limiting gain performance on feeder cattle. This has been Brad Parks with USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 29, 2007. Heavy rains brought farming activity to a halt across much of the state. Corn planted was 14% complete. This is well behind last year's 36 and 5 days behind the average of 31. The first fields of corn were emerging in southern counties. Wheat conditions improved from last week and rated 55% good or excellent, above last year. Wheat jointed was at 46%, ahead of last year's 36 and the 39 average. Alfalfa conditions also improved from last week and rated 41% good or excellent, well below last year's 77%. Oats planted increased to 86%, but remained behind the 95 of last year and 92 average. Oats emerge was at 45%, well behind last year's 60 and 62 average. Pasture and range conditions improved from last week and rated 53% good or excellent, below last year's 64%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending April 29, 2007. Planting of corn and small grains began in earnest during the past week, but progress continued behind average. More than one-fourth of the corn and oat crops were planted during the past week. Sugar beet and green pea plantings also advanced rapidly as warmer temperatures improved field conditions. Subsoil frost and cool soil temperatures remain in some isolated areas in the northern part of the state. The average temperature for the week was 54.6 degrees, 6.4 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 1% very short, 7% short, 79% adequate, and 13% surplus. As of Sunday, April 29th, an estimated 28% of the corn acreage was planted, compared to 43% for last year and 38% for the five-year average. Sugar beet planting was 38% complete, compared to 51% for the average. Spring wheat acreage was 20% planted, compared to 40% for the average. Oat acreage was 38% planted, compared to 68% last year and 57% for the average. 19% of the barley acreage was planted, compared to 42% last year and 32% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending April 29, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. In just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast, that one comes up next.
Think of WILL as a car, a really big car. Every day we drive you to music, news, history, science, nature, and much more. But our engine can't run without your financial contributions. We're raising $2.1 million for WILL radio and TV, and our fuel gauge shows the tank is now 65% full. Help fuel the programs you value by writing a check to UIF Friends of WILL and mailing it to 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, 61801. Thanks.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A Champaign County judge has sentenced former Illinois basketball player Rich McBride to 24 months of court supervision for his DUI arrest. McBride pleaded guilty in March to driving under the influence. He was arrested in Savoy September 29th and charged with DUI and improper traffic lane usage. The judge also fined McBride $1,000 and ordered him to serve 250 hours of community service. Prosecutor Stephanie Weber says McBride drank a fifth of tequila before his arrest. The 22-year-old from Springfield today said he hasn't had a drink and has done 75 hours of counseling since then. McBride is a senior and was an Illinois starter last season. Marches in Champaign and Chicago are part of a nationwide rally for change in the nation's immigration laws. The marches are partially a protest of recent raids on businesses by immigration officers. The marchers are also calling on Congress to act on reform measures proposed to improve border security while providing for guest workers and giving current illegal immigrants a path to citizenship. About 200 people rallied on the U of I quad this noon hour. Governor Rob Blagojevich says ComEd should be part of any rate freeze measure passed by lawmakers. There are competing approaches for the rate freeze measures in Springfield. House Speaker Michael Madigan favors statewide relief and imposing a freeze on Ameren and ComEd. Senate President Emil Jones opposes a freeze, and if there's a measure, he wants to leave ComEd out. Jones is a longtime ally of ComEd. Blagojevich has largely remained on the sidelines in the debate, urging lawmakers to send him a rate freeze bill. A monthly indicator of Illinois' economic performance finds the strongest results in more than 6 years. The Illinois Flash Index looks at tax receipts each month to give a first impression on the previous month's activity. Economist Fred Gert says the results are surprising, considering the recent talk of a slowdown on a national level. Carle Foundation Hospital says it won't appeal a decision against its plans to build a surgical center between Mattoon and Charleston. The Health Facilities Planning Board ruled in March against Carle. The plans were opposed by rival Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center. Carle now says it won't go ahead with its plans at the moment. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, rain has been on again, off again, and I guess it's back on for here in the Midwest. Is that right?
It is, especially in the middle section of Illinois, central and southwestern Indiana, northern Missouri, and southeast Iowa. Those areas over the next 48 hours looking quite wet. The bullseye of the heaviest precipitation in north central and northwestern areas and west central, especially west central Illinois, where some rainfall amounts and some of those heavier thunderstorms could exceed an inch or two.
Oh, wow. They won't be looking forward to that, I suppose. And then the folks in northern Illinois and a good portion of Iowa have been awfully wet, and they were well behind the curveball as we came into this week. Will they have an opportunity to dry out, or are they going to get hit with the rain as this next 24 hours, too?
Well, the rain in Iowa and some areas of northwest Illinois will not be as heavy as some of the west central areas. However, with that said, another quarter to a half inch in southern and eastern and especially southeastern Iowa is going to be a good bet, as well as northwestern Illinois. Now, we do expect that once we get by Thursday, the sun will be back out, temperature is going to be warm, and for, well, let's say Friday and into the upcoming weekend, it should be dry, although some thunderstorm activity starts to return by late Sunday into Monday. But at least we'll have 2, maybe 4 days of drier weather behind this storm.
And then if you look around the globe, what else do you see?
Looks like it'll be fairly moist in central and western areas of Europe, eastern Europe a little bit on the drier side. Dry over the next week or so in China, but the rain picks up next week.
Anything else we need to touch on before I let you go for the afternoon?
Keep the umbrella handy.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Bye.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, if you have the opportunity, to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the day's ag programming as MP3 files that you can listen to directly from the website. If you prefer to have that delivered directly to your computer, you can sign up for the podcast, and they'll come automatically to you. Each and every day, the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week on the weekends, along with the pre-opening and opening market reports, are all podcast. It's available there at willag.org. And while you're on that site, make sure you sign up for our weekend newsletter. It'll arrive in your email box. Just hit subscribe anywhere on the website at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com.